Okay, so we're on sheet 6. And I want to try and work out with you what's really going on with this idea that the Avot kept the Torah. Because it's not logical on the surface. And not only do we have the intrinsic logical problem, which is how can the Avot be doing something which has not yet been revealed for many hundreds of years afterwards, the Torah was only given at Sinai, etc. Not only is there that problem, and how to understand that idea, but there's also an explicit problem that the Psukim clearly talk about the Avot is doing things which the Torah prohibits. Yaakov married two sisters while they're still alive. Okay, you're not allowed to marry two sisters while they're still alive. They're putting up matzevas, which you're not allowed to do. We'll describe what a matzeva is later. So how does all of this come together? And actually, I think this is a very important sugya, a very important discussion, because it introduces a lot of ideas which are relevant to today. Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael, volunteering for a mitzvah, not positive, negative mitzvahs. It brings a lot of beautiful ideas in. Let's just set up the parameters and understand the problem, and then we'll go through the solutions. It all comes off this pasuk in number 1. It says, when God is describing Avram, he says, Ekev asher shama Avram bekoli, Avram listened to my voice, Vayishmor mishmarati, he kept my mishmeret, my rules, my guarding, he guarded my rules, mitzvoisai, my mitzvahs, chukoisai, my laws, vesoiroisai, and my Torahs. What on earth is he talking about? This is a pasuk that describes Avram Avinu, at the time of Avram Avinu, keeping all these different laws. How many laws were there? What did he keep? So Rashi quite famously interprets based on Chazal. Rashi doesn't say anything from himself. He brings from Chazal almost always. He brings based on the Gemaras in 3 and 4, we're going to see in a minute, the famous Rashi number 2. The Yishma Mishmarti, he kept my laws. Gezeiros laharchaka al hasorah shebetorah. The drabonons, a mishmeret, the idea of a guard, of a fence around the Torah. That's what a mishmeret is. Kegon shnius la'arayas, second degree prohibitions of incest, which the rabbis introduced. V'shvus l'shabbos, and shvus on Shabbos. Shvus are drabonons on Shabbos, designed to prevent you from accidentally breaking d'oraisas. Examples of muksa, and other things like that. So Avraham Avinu is keeping all these drabonons, according to Rashi. Again, what sense does that make? We don't yet know. How can Avraham Avinu keep rabbinic mitzvahs that were introduced 2,000 years after Avraham Avinu lived? Okay, how does that work? So we'll see. Okay, mitzvotai, Rashi says, are dvorim, are things which you would have worked out on your own, like gezel, theft, basic interpersonal laws. Chukotai are chukim, and here famously he talks about the idea of what's a chok. A chok is a law that doesn't make obvious sense in and of itself. And he talks about the idea of shatnas, of not eating treif, of pork, etc., etc. And Torah Sai, finally, he says, Lahafid Torah Shabbat Peh, Halacha L'Moshe Misina. He was keeping Torah Shabbat Peh, the halacha that would be given to Moshe on Sinai. Rashi doesn't raise any question as to how does this work and how is this possible. He just says it straight. Avram Avinu, from this pasuk, kept all of the Torah. Now, Rashi, it's a big debate as to whether Rashi is bringing pshat or Rashi is bringing drash. We're going to learn a little bit later, a little bit more about what Rashi is coming to do. But is this the pshat? Is this the most straightforward meaning of the pasuk? If not this, what else could the pasuk mean? What could he be keeping? Well, first of all, before your question, I want an answer. What could he be talking about that Avram was keeping if you don't go down Rashi's room?
I mean, it could just be that all these words mean, like, what God has just told him previously.
Which include what? Which is what?
Everything he's done.
In other words, you don't need to say this to give a good pshat. Just look for a second. You probably didn't get this far. Just look for a second at number 31. To number 31. The Rashbam. Who is the Rashbam?
Rashi's grandson.
The Rashbam very famously has an argument with Rashi, which he brings down in Parshas Vayeshev, a little bit later, where he talks about the fact that the Rashbam argued with his grandfather, and he said to Rashi, I think your perush is too midrashic. I think it's too focused on the drash element of the interpretation. I want to write a more pshat-based perush. In fact, according to Rashbam, his grandfather agreed with him. And Rashi said to him, you know something, you're right, if I only have time, I'd like to write a more pshat-based perish as well, but he didn't have time and he never wrote one, but the Rashbam wrote it later in life. Look what the Rashbam says, Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli, what are you talking about? Al Akeda, of the Akeda. Dichsev Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli, Vishmo Mitzvotai, Kegoin Mila, Bris Mila, Dichsev Ba Va'ata Briti Tishmor, okay, Mitzvotai, Akegoin Mitzvah Shmona Yamim, the Mitzvah to give a Bris Mila to all of the babies at the age of 8 days, Chukotai V'Toratai, what are they? V'fi Ika Pshutai, what are they, according to Pshat level, Kol Mitzvah Sanikaris, all the Mitzvahs that they knew about then, Kegoin Gezel, Arias, all the basic standard human interpersonal laws, okay? In other words, later on we got these mitzvahs all over again as a new Brit, but Aaron was keeping the stuff that everybody knew about then. It's referring to the special events of his own life, Bris Mila, the Akedah, maybe Lech Lecha, like you said, and the normal kind of Sheva mitzvah type laws. Most of the Pshat-based Mephoreshim go down that route. Rashi chooses not to. He wants to introduce to you this idea that somehow or other the Avos kept all the Torah. And it's not just here. Look here in what Rashi is based upon. There's a Mishnah in Kiddushin, there's a Gemara in Yoma. Look at the Mishnah in Kiddushin. I'm not going to read all the sources inside, but these first few I want to read. It says in source number 3, Matzinu, we find, says the Mishnah. Now here there's a Girsa issue. Either it says She'asa or She'kiyem. Let's go with She'asa first. She'asa Avram Avinu et kol ha-Torah kula ad she'lo nitna. Avram did the whole Torah before it was given, and he quotes this pasuk. Or maybe it says Avram kiyem. What's the difference between Asa and kiyem? What does Asa mean? He did it. Kiyem means he kept it. So what could be the difference between those two things? Yeah?
Something like kiyam implying that like someone was giving it before him.
He is upholding something. That's an interesting shot. He's upholding something that he received already as that there was. I never thought of that. But that could be. And that could fit with the Orach Chaim afterwards. The Kiyam is more like he's keeping this Masorah going. Whereas Asa means like he did it. That's I never thought of that. It was a very interesting idea. Yeah, I have to remember to think of that next year. Yes. If I remember, I quote it in your name.
Kiyam is like he kept it like he was given it a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's what Jessica's saying. I mean, they were saying the same thing as
no,
Jessica.
But from Hashem, maybe.
I still think they're saying the same thing as Jessica, as well as Asa is doing it, yes?
Me?
Yes?
Talking about, like,
oh, so we'll see the Maharal later says Asa might mean, like, he did things actively. Kiyam could mean he kept things, even Lothar says. So we'll see that in the Maharal later. The Gemara in Yoma, which is really the source for Rashi, is it too hot in here or too cold or just nice? I think it's a bit on the hot side, don't you?
Yeah.
Where's the... Okay, if I do it, I'll be responsible, you see. And then you can't blame Abby, you can only blame me. I'll make it warmer again when you all start freezing. Okay, look in the Gemara in Yuma. Okay. I'm a Rav. Kiyem Avram Avinu kol ha-Torah kula. Avram kept, upheld the whole Torah. Shinei Mari quotes the Pasuk, I'm not going to read it again. Amalei Rav Simi Barchia le-Rav. So Rav Simi responds to him and says, what do you mean? Eilu Sheva Mitzvahs? Maybe it was the Sheva Mitzvahs. Maybe it was just the stuff he already had. So it says Baha'ikanami Mila, but no, what about Mila? So it says, okay, so maybe it was just the Sheva Mitzvahs and Mila. Amalei, it says to him, no, in Cain, if you're telling me that it just means he kept the Sheva Mitzvahs and Mila, what a mitzvotai, Torahtai, Lamali. Well, what's those added words for? So Amarava, Rava says, Vitam Ravashi, maybe Ravashi, Kim Avram Avinu, Afilu Eiruve Tavshilim. That's a funny thing. What's an Eiruv Tavshilim? Yes.
And what
does it allow you to do? It allows you to cook on Yom Tov as a preparation for Shabbos. Is it Doraisa or Drabbonon? Drabbonon. So we've already seen Rashi said that Avram kept Drabbonons, whatever that means. We don't know how that works yet.
So Rav said that he kept all.
Yeah, everything.
So Shammai Bar.
He's asking maybe
he's
just
like maybe he only kept the Sheva Mitzvah off, but then if so, what?
Why does it say all these extra words? Torah-tai, mitzvah-tai. They seem to be adding new things. What is the big deal with Eruv Tavshilin? And by the way, I'll let you in on a secret that I didn't put on the sheet. Maybe I'll put it on next year.
Mean Eruv Tavshilin?
Yeah, why? Where do they pick out Eruv Tavshilin out of the middle of nowhere?
Why does it say all these words and then it means Eruv Tavshilin?
Yeah, he says he kept even Eruv Tavshilin. What is Eruv Tavshilin? Like, why Eruv Tavshilin? Why not say anything? What do you think, Joy?
I feel like it's the most bizarre one for him to have kept because there were no Yom Tovs for him to have needed an Eruv Tavshilin for.
Yeah,
right.
There's no Yom Tov that he would have been able to keep because Mitzrayim hasn't happened, Sukkot hasn't happened, no people on Rosh Hashanah are tied to the Mikdash Mishkan.
There's nothing for him. He has no Yom Tovs.
Why Eruv Tavshilin could he possibly be keeping?
And I let you in on a little secret. There are other midrashim, which I didn't bring you, which give you different gisas. One says Eruv Tavshilin. One says Eruv Tchumim. What's Eruv Tchumim?
The
Tchum to allow you to walk on Shabbos. That allows you to walk further on Shabbos. That might fit more, says the Vilna Gaon, with the word Ekev. What does Ekev mean? As well as because. It means heel. You know, there was something to do with walking. But I saw one shot just this morning before I left in the car to come to work. I decided to just go online and see what people say about this, because it was niggling, it was bothering me overnight. What's with Eruv Tavshilin? And I saw actually something which was very nice. I like this. Who says this? The Sefer Yuchsin. It's quite an obscure Sefer. He has a Gersa from the Midrash that says Eruv Chatzeros. What's an Eruv Chatzeros? What's an Eruv Chatzeros? Okay. If you have all these little houses coming off a courtyard, and you're only allowed to carry within each one, you can make an Eruv Chatzeros, which is, Eruv Chatzeros is what you and I call an Eruv.
Yeah.
Like a standard Eruv, almost. It's really a shit of Mavod. But that's right. And you would join all them up and make them into one big Rishus. And I saw the Sefer Yuchsin says that maybe symbolically, it's actually saying, Taka, what Avraham Avinu really did in life, which he took everybody's ideas of all their little gods doing separate little things in their own right in the world, and he was able to actually turn them all into one big reshus and say that actually the whole thing comes under one big overarching monotheistic principle. Okay, fine. That's drushy. It's not real. But still, what's going on here? Why are they talking about these Eruv? And it's not just Avraham Avinu. It turns out to be Noach as well, even though the Mishnah never said anything about Noach. How do we know that Noach knew the Torah? What does it say?
But Noach wasn't even Jewish.
He knew
kosher. Tahara.
Apparently.
He knew the laws of kashrus. How do we know that? Because he picked out the korbanos, the animals which he saved, which were kosher ones and non-kosher ones.
I was just saying that Eruv Tavshilin was just
Well, I'm trying to work out. I'm not entirely sure what is the connection between Avram and Eruv Tavshilin, or Eruv Tchumim, or Eruv Chatzeros. Joy wants to say it's like a very tiny detail which seems...
Like everything else.
Yeah. I want to say there must be a deeper connection. There must be something deeper with this era. But I'm not saying about Noah. By the way, you say Noah wasn't even Jewish. Was Avram Jewish?
Was Avram Jewish?
How do you know?
No, but they weren't even Jewish. No,
what makes a person Jewish today? Halachically. You have to have a Jewish mother. You have to accept mitzvot. Okay? So, did Avraham Avinu have any definition of Jewish? He had no, he didn't have a Jewish mother. He didn't have a bris milah at the beginning. He had a bris milah.
Judah hasn't even been born to be called.
He's an exception.
Okay, that's just semantics.
He's an exception because he's the first Jew.
Well, 1 second. You tell.
What Jewish is he? There's no Judaism. You can't be a Jew. There's no religion.
No, Judaism. He kept what he could, which was belief in God.
But who said that makes you
Jew? That's not a religion. If you say believe in God, it's religion.
Well, whenever God.
Now, there's no question, ladies. There's no question that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were what you might call proto-Jews. They led to the Jews. They were a family that became the Jews. The Jews only became Jews as we know them. And of course, you're right, Joy, they weren't called Jews for another 1,000 years because they only became called Jews when Shevet Yehuda was what was left. But Bnei Yisrael, whatever you want to call them, only really became Jewish, like we say now, at Har Sinai. Okay. By the way, one of the big issues before Sinai as to whether the Avos were or weren't Jewish, there is a sefer, I didn't put it on the sheet, it's a Perush al Chumash called the Parashat Drachim, which literally means the crossroads. And one of the themes he has there is he says this argument about whether they were Jewish or whether they weren't Jewish is actually very much the argument they were having at the time. He wants to say that there was an argument within Abram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the sons, the brothers, Yosef, Reuben, etc. Are we Jews yet, or are we still non-Jews with extras? And he actually goes through a whole analysis that the argument between Yosef and the brothers is that Yosef claimed that we are not Jewish, we're non-Jews. And Reuben claimed, no, we're now Jews. And this argument actually was part of, he explains all the different chazals as to how this works. I'm not talking about that today. But this issue, if you say Noah wasn't Jewish, was Abraham Jewish? How does that work? Yes.
But one of the things, even if, let's say, they were keeping all the mitzvahs, like, let's say, wherever they were keeping.
Right.
You always, when you read in Tanakh, like, let's say, when Yosef went out to the pit, and Yaakov said, like, where is he going? They should
right.
be learning Torah. What Torah were they learning? Were they sitting around just discussing?
Okay, so we'll see later on there was Shem and Aver, there was some kind of a Masorah from Avram Avinu. But that doesn't mean it's mitzvah. Torah there is more. There is such a thing as Torah, meaning some connection with God, some rules, some laws. They had Sheva mitzvahs, etc. We'll see that later on in the Oracle.
Avram had a Brit Milah, so there was
a Brit Milah, he had a why do we do Brit Milah today? Not because Avram had a Brit Milah. But because there's a mitzvah in the Torah to make you give a Brit Milah. Avraham had a Brit Milah as a private deal between him and God. He had a Brit Milah because God told him to have a Brit Milah. Okay? That's not the reason that today we do a Brit Milah. And that doesn't make him Jewish. That doesn't make him Jewish. Didn't have a Jewish mother. If you don't have a Jewish mother, you go away and have a Brit Milah. It makes you Jewish. It'll make you Jewish.
Yeah, but at what point did they only became Jews, you're saying, at Har Sinai?
I'm saying by Har Sinai, for sure there was such a thing as Jews. But before, maybe yes, maybe you're right. But that's already a discussion as to how to define that. So Noach, we see somehow knew it as again. I'm just setting up the question so far. Shh. I'm just setting up the question. 1 second. We see also with what was the thing with Rivka, with the two sheep. You saw that. Where was that? In number 8. Why are they bringing these two sheep to Yitzchak? These two lambs.
Once for a korban.
Which korban?
Pesach.
Once for korban Pesach. Nusa, everyone's keeping Pesach. We even see Lot baking matzahs. Why is Lot baking matzahs? Why would he bake matzahs?
Because Abraham kept Pesach.
Because it's Pesach. So you see this again and again and again and again. Everybody's keeping stuff. Lot's keeping Pesach. Abraham's keeping Pesach. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Because the Jewish people came out of Egypt and they weren't able to... Now, 1 second. If the whole reason for eating matzah is because it's a remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because they couldn't bake bread, so how can you be keeping matzah 400 years before Pesach? Unless you say somehow, and we're beginning to get more to an answer now, unless you say somehow there's a spiritual reality of mitzvahs that goes beyond the Torah. And you can tune in somehow to that reality. Meaning, the Avos, and we're going to see that this is part of the answer already, the Avos were tuned in on a very different basis than you and I are tuned in. We keep mitzvahs because there's a Torah, there's a Sinai, we have a commandment to do that, we were given the Torah at Sinai. They kept mitzvahs, we'll see, it was much more of a Ruach HaKodesh thing, much more of a tuning in. It could be that there's a vibe, there's a spiritual vibe, whatever that means, of matzah that goes through, that meets on Seder night. And in fact, the reason that we, Rabbi Katz talks about this, if you read any of his stuff, I recommend you read, it's very good. The reason that we ended up getting a mitzvah on Pesach of matzah is not because we came out of Egypt. We ended up coming out of Egypt on this night and having matzah because there was already this spiritual vibe in the world which Lot and Avram were able to tune into. In fact, there's even a hint to that. What do we say when we point to the matzah on Seder night? We say, matzah zeh, you know, why do we eat this? Say, be'avur zeh, asa Hashem li, b'teis Mitzrayim. It's because of this that God brought me out of Egypt. In other words, it's not that we eat pasta. We don't eat pasta because we came out of Egypt. We came out of Egypt because we have matzah. Maybe. So we'll get that's more of an answer. Adele. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but then matzah. I agree. But it makes no sense. Still makes no sense, Adele, to say you have a celebration, an Independence Day when there's no country yet, and you eat matzah. But why eat matzah? That's a funny thing to do, no? Random. Finally, to set up the question. You have this famous Rashi. Look at number 9. Look at number 9, where Rashi says, Yaakov turns around and says to Esav, Im Lavan Garati. This is a really famous Rashi. Im Lavan Garati. I lived with Lavan. Rashi says, Davarach Garati is Begematria Taryag. Okay? I live, Garati is a Taryag. Kaloma, as if to say, Im Lavan Harosha Garati. I live with Rosha, the Rosha in Lavan, but Taryag Mitzvah Shamarati, but I still kept all Taryag Mitzvahs. Now, of course, once you actually start thinking about that for a second, what, Yaakov kept all 613 mitzvahs? That clearly cannot possibly be literal, because of a number of things. Number one, even today, to keep all 613 mitzvahs, you have to be a man and a woman and a Kohen and a non-Kohen. In other words, you have to be, nobody can keep all 613 mitzvahs. Number two, clearly some of the mitzvahs related to things that did not exist at the time of Lavan Yaakov. He can't give the half a shekel, he can't give the massive a shekel every year to the Beis HaMikdash. He can't bring the korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. So clearly, whatever's happening here, this Taryag idea is not meant to be taken on a literal basis, and Rashi clearly knows that. So if you're not taking it literally, then what does it mean? Added to which, there are all of these mitzvahs that it seems the Avos didn't keep. Examples. What are the examples we give there? The Ramban asked this. What are the examples we give? What's that? The Matzevas. Who's putting up a Matzeva? Yaakov puts up Matzevas. Moshe puts up Matzevas. What is a Matzeva? It's like an Avodah Zarah stone. It's like a stone or whatever. A Mizbeach is made of lots of little stones. Okay, that we seem to have a mitzvah to do. But a Matzeva, later we see a Matzeva. Roy the Posik in number 11. There's an Issa Doraisa to put up a Matzeva. Yaakov's putting up Matzevas. Moshe's putting up Matzevas. Where does Moshe put up Matzevas? Now we put it up over a grave. But he's saying it's a means of worshipping Hashem through a Matzeva. That's now awesome, Midoraisa. Where does Moshe put Matzevas up? It was on the sheet, but you may have known it anyway. Where does Moshe put up Matzevot? There was a special ceremony where they put up 12 Matzevot. It's in the Chumash, it's not Midrashim. No, not Har Gvizim and Har Eival. That was later. Yeshua did that. Or maybe Moshe also did that. Even before that. Come on, guys, you know this. First of all, you knew it anyway, maybe. And second of all, it was on the sheet, you read it. Moshe at Har Sinai would put up 12 Matzevas. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Does this ring any bells?
Yeah.
Don't forget, the story of Har Sinai is not only in Parshat Yitro, it's also in Parshat Mishpatim. By the way, there's no excuse for not wearing what it says in the Chumash. You can read it in English. It's not hard. Just read it one parsha at a time every week. There should not be a Shabbat this whole year in MMY where you have not, before Shabbat comes in, read the entire parsha, at least in English. I'm not saying you should go through it all in Hebrew. Okay, but everyone in this room speaks English and reads English, I assume. Okay? It's there in the library. Get it out and read it. When you come to someone's Shabbos table, read the parsha. Say, well, what parsha is it? It's not hard to do. I recommend it. It will help you as well, because then you'll have something useful to talk about at the Shabbos table, because you've actually got all these questions. Now you've read the parsha. It takes you 15 to 20 minutes. Guarantee it won't take you more than half an hour. Friday afternoon, what else are you doing Friday afternoon? Sit on the bus, whatever it is. So do it, because if you're serious about learning, how can you not know what's in the parsha? And then you'll know what the whole Chumash says within 1 year, almost. Okay, bye. So we have all of these questions. He married two sisters. Who married two sisters? Yaakov, maybe even four sisters, because according to the Midrash, Bilhah and Zilpah were also part of the Mishpocha. Yeah? You're not allowed to marry two sisters. You're allowed, according to the strict Torah law, to marry two women, and therefore no one's getting upset with Avram and Hagar for marrying Sarah and Hagar, but you're not allowed to marry two sisters, that's in the Torah.
Why aren't we upset with him? Because it says that he kept a Rabbanah, and you're not allowed to marry two sisters. You're not allowed to two women in Rabbanah.
It's not the Rabbanah, it's actually the latest Rabbeinu Gershon. It's after the Rabbanah. But the two sisters is more of a problem. Like, how can you marry that? When one of them is dead, you're allowed to marry the other one. But when they're alive, you can't. You can't marry a sister, get divorced, and marry the other sister.
Not?
Certainly not at the same time. It's in the Torah. It's called incest. What can I tell you? That's what it says. Yibum is a whole exception. Normally, marrying your brother-in-law is also osur. You can't just, get divorced from a man and then marry his brother the next year. It's incest. Incest. But God forbid the man dies. then you have a mitzvah to marry the brother. But Yaakov was not meant to marry
the
sister. If they have no children, there's a whole bit of fact. So all Adkan is questions. From now on is answers. Let's go through the answers that the sheet gives. I'm not going to read every source, but at least be equipped with these answers so whenever anyone tells you from here on in for the rest of your life, what does it mean that the Avos kept the whole Torah? You will be ready equipped with these six answers, like, you know, guns from the holster, to be able to tell people what that means. The first answer, which I think is really important, is the Ramban's answer, which is number 14. The Ramban says like this: Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. He said, in Eretz Yisrael, they kept the mitzvahs, but in Chutz La'aretz, they didn't keep the mitzvahs. So look at what he says. Number 14, Hanira Eli, Midat Raboseinu, Shelamad Avram Avinu HaTorah Kula Beruach HaKodesh, Beruach HaKodesh. First of all, he's saying, the first thing you need to know is that the connection of Avram to the mitzvahs was not like you or me. He's tuned in by Ruach HaKodesh. He's a Navi. Means he connects with God in a spiritual way. Somehow or other, that spiritual vibe is also communicating the idea of mitzvahs. What you and I do because we're told to do, he does because he somehow knows what to do. How did he know? Where did he get that from? So we'll see that in a few minutes' time. So he says, Ruach HaKodesh. He knew the reasons for the mitzvahs. The secrets behind the mitzvahs, again, not because he's following he's not because he's reading a Gemara. Nobody's saying here that he's got a library with a chumash. Obviously, that doesn't make any sense. But he's tuned in somehow. He also brings an important point. They're keeping mitzvahs as what's an einu mitzvah v'oisa? Right. You and I keep mitzvahs because we're commanded. What does it mean to volunteer to keep a mitzvah? You don't get as much schar. Not chesed shel emes, that's a chiyuv. To do chesed in the Torah.
If you're blind, then you don't have to do chesed.
Means that you're kind of...
You're obligating.
You want to go to... You want to go and hear Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, technically you don't have an obligation to do that. You want to do that if you're a woman. Yeah. You want to sit in a sukkah. If you do that, there's an enormous schar. You're connecting him with a mitzvah. It's not something you have to do.
It's a voluntary mitzvah would have enormous schar.
Enormous schar. Not the same as if you're commanded. But very much you have a schar. And then he says, Ushmirasoi lo'oisa haya be'eretz gezach. So he said three things that you need to remember. Number one, the connection was Ruach HaKodesh. Number two, the connection was as an einu mitzvah ve'oisa. They're volunteering. They don't have to keep these mitzvahs. They're not following a rule book. And number three, only in Eretz Yisrael. That's why he says that Yaakov was married to two sisters in Chutz La'aretz. He was married in Iraq.
Why is he going to pass?
But
one second. We'll talk about that in a minute.
He was also in Israel.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute.
He knew he was going to have to come home at some point. Did he know when he
was? Well, that we don't know. We didn't know how long he was going to be there.
Yeah, but
she happened
to that. Did he know that was going to happen? Amram
married his aunt. He married her in Egypt. You're not allowed to marry your aunts, so it's not in Eretz Yisrael. Why is it that mitzvahs... By the way, Amram marrying his aunt is a serious business. You're not allowed to marry your aunts. If you marry your aunts, according to the Torah, that's incest.
But an uncle can marry me.
Yes, technically we don't do that. But by the way, if you marry your aunt, the children are mamzerim. So if Amram married his aunt, and Moshe, Miriam, and Aaron are the children, like, what does that say about Moshe, Miriam, and Aaron? You're going to tell us, you know, you'll forbid that they're mamzerim? No. But certainly not mamzerim. There's no indication of that at all. He's saying that, like, this. Yeah. Although maybe Matan Torah changes everything.
Maybe.
Because they become Jewish, and they weren't Jewish. The whole point here is that outside Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvahs just don't apply the same. And I want to talk about that for a minute. Just 1 second, Ellie. Just pick up what he says here. I want you to pick this up on the third line. On the second line. The Chayn Amram. Ki a mitzvahs mishpat elokei ha'aretz hei. Mitzvot are deeply and intrinsically connected with Eretz Yisrael. Outside Eretz Yisrael, it is a chiddush that there are mitzvahs at all. Afal pi shehuzarnu b'chovat haguf b'kol makom, even though there is an obligation of chovat haguf, meaning there's a chiddush that even though you're in Chutz La'aretz, you also have to eat kosher, you also have to keep Shabbos on a kind of personal level. And it's brought in the pasuk in the second paragraph of the Shema. It says, even though you're exiled and thrown out of the land, you'll still have to keep mitzvahs. Comes along the Ramban over there in Vayikra and Tvarim, in various places, and says that, you know, there's a chiddush. You would have had a havamina. What's a havamina? You would have thought, before I said this, that actually the minute you stepped into Chutz La'aretz, there are no mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs are part of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael. Comes along the Torah and says, actually, as a personal obligation, you still have to keep mitzvahs in Golders Green. You still have to keep mitzvahs in America, in Monsey, wherever you live. But it's not the same. And therefore the Avos, who didn't have to keep mitzvahs at all, why not? Because they were Eilu Mitzvah Ba'oiseh, they were tuned in spiritually by Ruach HaKodesh, so that Ruach HaKodesh only happens in Eretz Yisrael. Because there is only Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, they've got the vibe. But the minute they step out of Eretz Yisrael, like that, what is that? That is nothing. Today, we still have mitzvahs even outside Eretz Yisrael, but they're still not the same thing. In fact, there are poskim, Rav Nevensal, I believe, says this, for a guy who wears tefillin in the morning, puts on his tefillin in New York in the morning, gets on a plane and flies to Israel. When he gets to Israel, he should put his tefillin on again. But he already wore tefillin that day. He wore New York tefillin. This is Eretz Yisrael tefillin. It's different. It's a different mitzvah. It has a whole qualitatively different vibe to it. And this is something you need to tune into. Eretz Yisrael is not like any other place. And the Ramban wants to make that very clear at the very beginning. And therefore, all of these things they did outside Israel. Because it doesn't quite work, as Hannah pointed out. Because Yaakov was still married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael. None of these answers totally work. That's why they're all giving different answers. Where did Rachel die?
On the way to
Bethlehem, they'd already been back in Eretz Yisrael for some time. Bethlehem was just down the road here. Bethlehem is a Kemer Rachel is a 20-minute walk from here. Okay. So somehow or other, they were still married. He was still married to two sisters in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a perfect example. Also, the Matseva. Where did Yaakov put up the Matseva? Wasn't that also in Eretz Yisrael?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the dream
was on that one. So. Yeah, that's also in Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, it's not a perfect answer. Not a perfect answer. However, it's a very important hashkafic principle. So that's the answer number one. It was Eretz Yisrael versus non-Eretz Yisrael. By the way, Rashi clearly doesn't agree with this. How do you know?
Because Rashi said to
Mr. Shemati. Rashi said that Yaakov said to, you know, Esav, when I was with Laban, I kept the whole shebang. Whatever that means, the whole 613. So click fine. A second answer. Number 15. The Ramah. Who's the Ramah? Rav Moshe Isserles. Very important. Rav, Ashkenazi, Krakow. If you've been to Poland, if you've been to his shul, if you're going this year, you'll go to his shul. The Ramah comes in, and what's the Ramah's answer, number 15? Different answer. He says, what? Do you remember? No. Nice try. No. Yes, he said Avram kept them. He says, who said anyone else kept them? So Avram Avinu kept them. Don't ask me questions about Yaakov and two sisters, Moshe making matzavas, Amram marrying his auntie. He said, who said everyone else kept them? It says in the Mishnah, it says in the Gemara that Avram Avinu kept the mitzvahs. So Avram kept them. And everybody else, they kept the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. In other words, it was a special deal between Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very nice pshat answer, because it says in the pasuk there about Avram that he kept all the mitzvahs. So he says, who said that everyone else did? That's his approach. However, the Guri Aryeh doesn't like that. Let's give another answer. The Guri Aryeh, over the page, he asked a question on that. Have a look at number 16 for a second. Aval ani tama al dibi Ramban. First he's asking on the Ramban. Shehikshe al Ramban. Let's just look at number 16. De'echye nogin hese b'mashikib al Avram al atzmo. How could they allow what Avram Avinu had accepted on himself? For that you're going to say that he kept it, no one else kept it. Okay, and we see that actually mitzvahs are not all the same. You see, Avram had bris mila. Yaakov gidan nasha. Yaakov had gidan nasha. What's gidan nasha? The sinew, the sciatic nerve. The ki amitzes hamagbilim yuchadim b'hem. It's interesting. He's kind of going with Ramah here. He's saying that, look, you see, they had different relationships with mitzvahs. Just like we today, there are different people with different mitzvahs. Kohanim have certain mitzvahs, non-Kohanim have other mitzvahs. So too then, he says, he's going with this answer, and he's saying, look, it could be that they had different mitzvahs. B'pi Hashem, Eino Shavim Hakol, not everybody is the same. Ki Avram B'prat Hayim Usugul L'chol HaMitzvahs, Avram Dafke had a relationship with all the mitzvahs. V'Yitzchak L'mitzvah Shechita, Yitzchak was maybe connected with Shechita, maybe from the idea of the Akedah. V'Yakov L'mitzvah Shabbos, Yaakov with Shabbos. In other words, he's actually going with the Ramah. He's giving the same kind of answer, which is that it could be that the Avos had different relationships with mitzvahs. Yaakov's special relationship with the Shabbos, etc. In other words, why should they all keep the same mitzvahs? They're all doing it by Ruach HaKodesh. If they're doing it by being tuned in, so everyone's different. Everyone's tuned into something different. Now today, you and I can't tune in differently, totally. We can, by the way, when it comes to Minhag. Minhag is the way that you, Joy, tune in to Torah a little bit specially for you differently to me. That's why Minhagim can be different. And maybe even with Hashkafa. We'll talk about Hashkafa when we get there. What is Hashkafa? Where does it come from? Who decides what's right and what's wrong? And can you just take on whatever Hashkafa you feel like? We'll talk about that. There are individual approaches. But with the Avos, he says, all the bets are off. They could do whatever they wanted because they were tuned in.
They're tuned in to different frequencies.
Different thing, different frequencies. And then he comes on to give another answer, which is positive and negative. Meaning, the Maharal now says in source number 17... What does it mean? What does it mean? Yeah. What does it mean that Asa, they did all the mitzvahs? Now, someone made this point before, I can't remember who made it, which is that Asa sounds like they did the positive mitzvahs. And the Maharal makes a beautiful point here in the Gur Ariyeh. Gur Ariyeh is his Perush on Chumash. He says like this, I'm on source number 17. He says, look, if you volunteer to do a mitzvah, then it makes sense to volunteer to do a positive mitzvah. But volunteering to do a negative mitzvah doesn't make any sense. What did you do exactly? Because if there's some idea about eating matzah, if you achieve something by eating matzah, some spiritual positivity, so it makes sense, even though I don't have to eat matzah, I will eat matzah. What happens if a non-Jewish person decides to shake lulav? Does that do anything? Maybe. Maybe they take on and say, I want to shake lulav, because lulav does something to connect me with God. But says the Maharal, if someone takes on voluntarily a negative mitzvah, a non-Jew says, I'm not going to eat pork. No, that doesn't do anything. Because unless you're commanded to do it, one of the whole points of the negative mitzvah is that I have a yetzer to do it. I don't do it because God commanded me not to do it, so I get char. But if God never commanded me not to do it, so what is there? And therefore, he says a beautiful idea about positive and negative mitzvahs. The Avos kept the positives, but they didn't keep the negatives. That's why Yaakov could marry two sisters. That's why Amram's marrying his aunt. That's why, etc., etc. Because there is no idea of tuning in to the negative mitzvahs. It's a chiddush. It's an interesting idea. Yes, Michal.
And then what about don't steal, don't murder?
Oh, no. They were the Sheva mitzvahs for sure. Everyone agrees they have to keep the Sheva mitzvahs because they're commanded to keep the Sheva mitzvahs. That's for sure. Absolutely. We have the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And I brought the same kind of ideas from the Marashah in 18 who says, Asa means he did it, etc., etc. Now, I want to give you another answer. These answers you won't like. Okay? Just turn for a second because you probably didn't get this far to number 21 and 22. There are some people who want to give more technical answers. What do I mean by technical answers? Like this.
Wait, this is number 5?
I've lost track. I've lost track of the reasons.
Number 4.
Yeah, whatever. Yes.
Kind of an earlier question, but could the Ima hold keep me thought? Because we have the concept of Sarah being a little bit more in tune with God than Abraham, so shouldn't she have had thought that she was
attuned to? Now that is very interesting. Why is nobody talking about the Imahot?
Because they were naturally more spiritually connected.
Back then it was different.
This flirtatious month.
Like, on the other hand, Sarah is going and baking. You know what she baking? She's also baking the matzahs. When the Malachim are coming, that's what she's baking.
I think whatever she likes, she can eat them both, though.
Right. In other words, it was a deal. Or you could turn around and say, look, once you say, like the Maharal says, that everybody is on their own wavelength to God. So every one of them, Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, they've all got their own independent wavelength. and they're all doing what they do and not doing what they don't do. We'll see this in a minute in the Tosafos.
So, but like, so for example, Amida, is Amida considered a los hase or an ase? Because there's something that you're not doing.
So nida, nida is a lois ase.
So would they have done it? No, then.
So that's an interesting question, because there's a medrash,
yeah.
And again, you have to work out how this fits in. There's a medrash about, remember the whole thing where Avram goes, the malachim come, the angels come, and he then says to them, we're going to make you some food. So what does he say? He runs into the tent of Sarah and says, I want you to bake loads and loads of cake, like bread, nuts or whatever it is, and a cow, and a this, and a that. And when he, in the end, he doesn't bring them any of the bread. What happened to the bread? So the Medrash says that at that point Sarah became a nida and the bread became tame. So they didn't bring it out. So according to this,
what does nida mean?
Nida means that she started menstruating, which already was a chiddush because that's already the beginning of her rejuvenation.
That doesn't go to food. That doesn't happen.
That's not true. On at least on a drabbanon level, maybe even on a Torah level, depending on what the food is, if someone who is tame, let's say I touch a dead body and I become tame, and then I touch food, the food also becomes tame. So
I gotta put the salt shaker down first.
That's a whole different thing. That's not passing things to each other when the wife is in it. That's the whole thing. Oh, so people were tame. People didn't have to be tahor. I don't want to get a whole discussion about Tumah and Tara. Most people were tame most of the time. And it didn't matter. Because there's nothing you can't do when you're tame. There's no issa to become tame. Sometimes doing a mitzvah makes you tame. Like when?
When you bury
a dead body. So in other words, there's nothing bad about being tame. Again, sometimes you have to be tame. It's just that it has implications for going to the Beit HaMikdash. So what happened most of the time, back in the day when there was a Beit HaMikdash, is most Jewish people were tame most of the time. You can't avoid it. How can you avoid it? But people who were in Yerushalayim made special efforts. If you go down to the burnt house, you've been to the burnt house, it's like an exhibition down there. You'll see that most of the Kohanim had furniture which was made of stone. Stone tables, stone chairs, stone beds. Why? Because stone doesn't become tame. It's a pain in the neck to have a wooden table to make it tame and have to take it to the mikveh every 3 days. Who wants it bad enough, hard enough to take your pots and pans to the mikveh rather than taking your dining room table and your double bed to the mikveh as well? So anyway, we're off topic. But that's an interesting question because that's a negative. Fine. There are technical answers. And the technical answers answer in technical ways. To me, they don't speak exactly the same way as these bigger ideas about Eretz Yisrael, positive, negative. But for example, the Radbaz comes in and says, you know what? Number 21. He says, why was Yaakov allowed to marry two sisters? Because they weren't really sisters.
What?
Look at what he says. Lefi Apshat, Nirili, She'ein Ashayla Klal. Number 21. It's not a question at all. She'hari Ha'akum, because a non-Jew, Elehem Achva Klal, They don't have the same laws of sibling connections as Jews. And even if they decided to become gerim, mutaras hayulai, they wouldn't be related anymore. The kaima life, because we paskin deminatora muta ha'adam lisa shtei achos geiris. When two non-Jewish people become gerim, they are no longer related to each other. In halacha, in strict terms, if a whole family, father, mother, daughter, son, okay, Robert,
yeah,
Julie.
We know family.
You know?
No, my rabbi and my yeshiva, his whole family became.
They all go down to the mikveh together, and they all come out. Technically speaking, none of them are halakhically related to each other anymore.
Did the parents have to get remarried?
Certainly, his parents have to get remarried.
And there's a whole big issue of yichud with the king.
That depends on how old they are and all that kind of thing. Generally, there's not a committee.
Right? What's
that?
And the story of the Rabbi.
Ruth and Orpah are not related anymore
oh
once you're converts. Correct. So says the Radbaz, said the Radbaz, actually, Leah and Rachel weren't actually sisters halakhically anymore, so they're not two sisters.
What are they converting to?
Oh, so then that begs the question, what are they converting to? Whatever it means to be Jewish, then. That's what they're converting to. Okay, I thought you wouldn't like this.
When did they convert?
When they married into the family. In other words, they're the daughters of Lavan. They for sure are. Whatever Jewish means, for sure Lavan's not one of them. Yeah? Once they come into the house of Yaakov Avinu, so then they become, quote-unquote, Jewish, then they're not related anymore. It's a technical answer. Rav Moshe Feinstein gives another technical answer. He says, the only issa to marry two sisters is if they married them by Kiddushin, and since they didn't do Kiddushin anymore, before back in Torah, so they're not technically sisters.
Why didn't they have the whole
Oh, so then if they don't have what's the problem? Is this number 5 Chana? It doesn't matter. It's like this is another mitzvah.
Rav Moshe
Feinstein, number 22. Rav Moshe says like this. Listen, Rav Moshe said that since the only Issa Torah is if you're married by Kiddushin to two sisters, and they didn't have Kiddushin in those days, so again, it's a technical answer. I don't think the technical answers really take us as far as the bigger Hashkafic answers, but these are all things that you have to have in your arsenal, you know what an arsenal is. Yeah, in order to be able to answer these questions. I'm not going to take questions just for now. I just want to do with a couple of things. Okay, Nadiva, if you really would insist. Then I have to take it on as well. Go on.
If they converted to whatever being Jewish meant at that point,
yes.
Then did they get, by converting, that tuning into the Ruach HaKodesh, or did they just follow whatever Yaakov?
No, they're tuned in. They all got their own. In fact, you know for a fact that Rivka, for example, is on a different Ruach HaKodesh level than Yitzchak. She has information that Yitzchak doesn't have. She went through Shem or whatever it is. But we see that the Avos were different. Whatever level, whatever they were tuned into.
Even in the
yeah, it seems that way. As you said, Sarah was on, someone said, Sarah had a Bina that was greater than Avram's, even who you might have had a Nevuah which was greater than hers. Yes. Sorry, Ilana. So that's a good question. So what do you mean they didn't keep Kiddushin? If they kept the whole Torah, you're back to square one. They did have Kiddushin. That's why the technical answers don't really work entirely, because then you have to see, you say you had this but not that, and that but not this. Every answer takes you part of the way to an answer, but none of them really answer all of the issues. I want to just finish with one last thing, and then I'm going to let you go. Look at number 23. I want to read this with you, because this, I think, is a very beautiful idea. Look at number 23. Look at the Das Akedah Bali Atos. Gam Yaakov, Heich Nasa Shtei Achios B'chayehem. How did Yaakov marry two wives while they were sisters? V'yesh loyma, ki ma'achas sheloi nitztavu ala Torah, af al pi sheyodua baruch HaKodesh, even though because they weren't commanded, even though they knew with this spiritual Ruach HaKodesh, Masha Hayu Roitzin Hayu Mekayimim, what they felt they wanted to do, they did. Masha Hayu Roitzin, and what they didn't want to do, Hayu Manichin, they left aside.
They picked and choose?
But they picked and choose, not in a sense of self-interest, but because they don't have to do any of it on a commanded level. They're choosing anyway to do anything, they're opting into the spiritual vibe that fits them. This is the midrash that I skipped over, that in this whatever Suda, when at the end of days, midrashically, they give the cup to Avram and he says, I can't make the bracha. Why? Because Ishmael came from me, and Yitzhak says, Esau came from me, and Yaakov says, I'm not fitting because I married two sisters. That means he didn't do right. Since the Torah future, there's something not quite right with that. But he nevertheless married them. So let me ask you, he's asking a question. So Yaakov Avinu, as it were, knows that it's not right. So why does he do it? I'll tell you why. Even though there's a downside, in a sense, but he knew he had to marry the most righteous women to produce Klal Yisrael. The loy matzer b'doritzit kaniyos kamoisem, and there was no one more righteous than them. Meaning, in there, before Matan Torah was given, the Torah was not yet fixed, it was not crystallized. It was much more spiritual. So if there's a spiritual downside to marrying two sisters, there's a spiritual upside to marrying two tzidkaniyot kazer, and therefore that outweighs the other. By the way, you see this a little bit with Yibum. If the husband dies, who does the wife do Yibum with? The brother. What if she decides to pick another relative? Can she do that? No. So what happens with Yehuda and Tamar? Yehuda marries off this girl Tamar to his first son, and he dies. He marries to the second son, and he dies. So now there's a third son. So that's Yibum, right? The brother. But he won't give her the son. So who does Tamar do Yibum with?
The dad.
The dad. So what is this? You do Yibum with your father-in-law?
She married her father-in-law?
She got married.
You know the whole story there?
Married.
She pretends to be a zunna, she pretends to be a prostitute, and she entices him. They just give this everywhere at school where you are. Read Gracious chapter 38, you'll get the whole thing.
That's fine.
Guys, leaving all of the massive moral ethical questions to one side, at the end of the day she's doing yibum with her father-in-law. How do you do that? The answer is, because we're before the Torah is crystallized, so it's flexible. So it's based on spiritual ideas. Now you can't pick and choose. Now you can't say, well, I want to marry this girl and she's not Jewish, but she's a big tzaddikus, and therefore it's okay. You can't do that.
But then
you could do that, and that's what it said. Let's just finish the source.
You could pick and choose, but only...
based on the Ruach HaKodesh.
But only because it was flexible.
Yeah.
Wait. That's implying Zilpah and Zilpah, they're servants, whereas equal Greek tzaddikus as Rachel and Leah.
And who said they weren't?
Wait,
who said they weren't? I want to finish with just one last thing in the last minute. Ladies, give me my last minute. The last thing I just want to tell you is, where did Avram know this from? How did he know what to do? Where did they get this from? So I just want to point out one source, which is the last source that I'm pointing out today. Why can't I find it? Just one second. Where is it? Am I missing a page? What's this? Where's the one that he learned with his klayot? Yeah, here. It's on... here. Source 27. Let's look at source 27 and we'll finish. But Achshav loy nitna ha-Torah, if the Torah wasn't yet given, says the Midrash, k'siv ba-Avram, but yet it says, ha-harik k'siv ba-Avram, ekev ha-shashama Avram, ha-kali, v'shama ha-zatai, he kept all these mitzvahs. Mi-heichan lamad Avram et ha-Torah. So where did he get it from? So there are three options. One option is he got it as a tradition. He got it from Shem. Shem got it from Noach. Noach got it from Adam. There is that. That's actually the Orach Chaim in number 30. But he doesn't say that here. Rashbi of Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Nasu Shtei Kli Yosef, his two kidneys became Kishnei Kadim, like two jugs Shalmayim, Bahayu Noive in Torah, and they overflowed with Torah. So one option is he got it from his kidneys. What does that mean he got it from his kidneys?
It was like
from Shimon Bar Yochai. It was a. It was in his kishkas. It was deeply connected.
He knew the Torah in his gut.
He got like that feeling. Along comes Rabbi Levi and says, "No, ma'atzma lama de ta Torah." He learnt it from himself, meaning he worked it out in his head. This is on the second opinion in the 27th. Meaning Avram Avinu, and I just want to finish with the idea because it's a very important idea, that there is an idea that Avram Avinu knew this because how? Because he sat and he thought about it. And there's all those beautiful midrashim about, you know, he sees the sun and he thinks the sun is God, but then the sun goes down and the moon comes up. You've heard all this. Okay, even as a child. Meaning Avram Avinu's relationship with God, relationship with Torah, was based primarily through his own understanding. Now that also fits with Nevuah. Nevuah also happens up here. So never forget that we haven't lost that completely. Even though we are doing things now because we're commanded, there's a very strong element of you really have to use your head, think, work that through, even though we're doing mitzvahs in a different way. Okay, so I hope that gives you some understanding. Next time we're going to go back to the whole halachic process and really start pulling it apart and move forward back after Matzah Torah.